Welcome to the URJ's Parenting Podcast. This is Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today I'm speaking with Rabbi Sandy Eisenberg Sasso, one of the senior rabbis of Congregation Beth El Tzedek in Indianapolis, and author of 11 nationally acclaimed children's books. In this segment, she talks about the importance of stories, modeling, and questioning in building children's spiritual selves. So what other kinds of questions help to get at the heart of what's really on the child's mind?
Well, I don't think you begin with questions. I think you begin with a story. Well, let me give you an example of another book about God, since we're talking about that. The second book I wrote is called In God's Name. Mm-hmm. And in that book, each person names God out of his or her own experience. You know, so a mother who's holding her baby calls God mother, and a father who holds his child's hand calls God father. A farmer calls God creator of life. A soldier who's tired of too many wars calls God maker of peace. And all the people in the story, everyone says, my name for God is better than your name for God. And they argue, until they all come to a lake that is clear like a mirror, God's mirror, and they all look into that mirror, and they all say their names for God at the same time, and they realize no name for God is better than another. All the names for God are good, and they call God one. When I read that story, I ask children to tell me what their favorite name for God is. Now, when I ask them that question before I read the story, they usually give me fairly traditional names for God. You know, Adonai, Father, names that they hear, King, in the liturgy or what they've heard in their own communities. After I read the story, they usually say Mother or Friend, because those are names that relate to their own lives. Mm-hmm. And I once used this story during a family service, and there was a little boy whose mother had been suffering from breast cancer. And he said, I would like to call God healer. And here was an opportunity for a child to offer a prayer in a way that he had never been able to do that mm-hmm. before. So by allowing children to name God out of their own experiences, we find out what's the important relationship in their life. Well, what's their prayer? What do they hope for? What gives them comfort? So a story like that allows for that kind of conversation.
Do you have a favorite of your books?
Oh, that's not a fair question. I love all my books.
Yeah.
But I'll give you another example of the story that I tell. This book is called Cain and Abel, Finding the Fruits of Peace. And it's the biblical story of Cain, who gets very angry and kills his brother Abel. I tell the story in a way that indicates that Cain is angry for a good reason, that life treated him unfairly. And he has a right to be angry. But what he doesn't have a right to do is act out on that anger in a way that's harmful to his brother. So I tell this story in a way that's very accessible to children. And after I read the story with kids, I ask them if there's a time they've ever felt angry like Cain. And they're very happy to tell me about those times. Because our children do get angry at things that are unfair in their lives, but nobody ever asks them to tell them about those experiences. And then we talk about ways that we can channel anger in a way that is constructive rather than destructive. What can you do when you're angry so you won't hurt someone? And we have a wonderful conversation. Children love to be read stories, actually, because they just love to be read to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they have to read a book, that in many ways is an assignment. But when you read a story to them, you're giving them a gift. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the gift of story, but the gift of yourself. know, just sitting together and being able to read is also building a special kind of relationship. So I don't think you always have to give up reading to your child, even if they're past the picture book age, even if you're not going to look at the pictures. Although I think the pictures provide a great opportunity for talking about the child's concerns and imagination, because pictures take them to another place that words sometimes can't. I don't think books are the only answer. If you want to develop the spiritual life of children, there are a number of things you can do. First of all, I say read stories, because stories provide you an opportunity to have a deeper conversation. Of course, not any stories, but you know, good stories that deal with issues that children are concerned about. So first of all, read stories with children. Be open to how they relate to the story. Often when we read a story, we want to tell our children what the story means, but we're only telling them what the story means to us. We have to allow them to develop their own relationship to the story and tell us what the story means to them. Now, don't read a story and say the moral is you should always love your brother, because that you have to allow the child to find his or her place within the narrative. And there are certain questions you can ask children to help facilitate that conversation. And some of them are simply, what part of the story did you like the best? And what part of the story is about you? Those are very crucial questions to help children tell you their relationship to the narrative and how it plays a role in their life. But beyond stories, there are other things that you can do. Albert Schweitzer once said there are three ways that you can teach a child. One is by example, two is by example, and three is by example. Often teaching children about spirituality has to do not so much with what we say, but what we do. In other words, how do we live out a spiritual life? And our children are very good observers of our behavior. How do we relate to a frustrating situation? What do we do when we're in the car and there's a traffic jam? How do we invite guests into our home? How do we treat a new person in the neighborhood? How do we respond to somebody who's different? What do we do when we're angry? All of those actions teach volumes about the life of the spirit.
What about when your child seems to be coming to a conclusion or a belief about God or a story in the Bible or something that strikes you as something that you can't believe in, or something that maybe you once believed but you've since abandoned, you know, a belief that even just rubs you the wrong way?
Right. Well, if children say something that you believe is morally inappropriate, then you need to find, you need to find out what their belief is and what's behind their belief, but it's okay for you to challenge those notions. Mm-hmm. In fact, we know that children at a young age tend to think in categories. They're the good guys and the bad guys. You know, all girls do this, all boys do this, all Muslims are like this, you know, all Christians are this way, all Jews are this way. They put things in categories. That's how they make sense out of their world. And it is important to challenge those intuitive ways of thinking and to model for them critical thinking. At the same time, people believe differently. And if your child says one thing and you might say, that's interesting, let me tell you what I believe. You know, that's interesting that you believe that, and could you tell me more about that, and let's talk about it a little. You know, I'm not so sure that's what I think. I'm thinking the following. They need to hear from you what you believe, and if you don't know what you believe, at least they need to hear your doubt, because doubt is also part of the spiritual life. For adolescents in particular, it's the conversation is even, it's so important, and it's very important to allow adolescents to begin to question what it is they believe and what you believe, because the questioning itself is part of the faith process, because faith is a journey, it's not a destination. And if our children start questioning what they believe and we get nervous about it, then they may reject everything they believe. But if you can tell them that's okay to question, that's part of the process, and let's talk about that, then I think you encourage them on the faith journey. Doubt is part of faith. And uncertainty is part of faith. I mean, faith is not an absolute. If you haven't ever questioned what you believe, you really haven't figured out what you believe. You've only accepted what somebody else told you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come to your own relationship to your faith, meaning you learn through experience and through reading and through conversation with others what your tradition tells you about belief and faith. But then you have to own it. You have to make it your own. And the only way you're going to make it your own is by questioning it and talking to it and having a conversation with it and dialoguing with it. Otherwise, it's not yours. It's somebody else's. They just gave it to you and you just took it. But you really need to engage it to make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the process. One way of looking at faith is there's four different levels. There is the experience faith, that is just what you experience. You light Sabbath candles, you celebrate the holidays, you do these things with your family and your community. Then there is what's called affiliative faith, that is, what does the community do? And I share this with the community, and I do it too because I belong to this community. But then there is also a searching faith, which says, where do I fit into this community? And is what my community tells me what I think? And that's part of the process, which ultimately leads to a what might be called an owned faith. That is, I have now found my place within the community story, and I now connect my story with my people's story. It's not just my people's story, it's now my story too. And so that's an ongoing journey, and it's important to encourage it along the way. I think one of the saddest things that's happened recently is that a lot of people have rejected faith because they have defined it in rather infantile ways. And that's why I think it's so important that the discussions we have about faith and God and belief with our children are discussions that they can grow with and not ones that they will clearly reject as they come into adulthood.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reformed Judaism's Parenting Podcast. Let us know what you think and find more parenting resources at urj.org/parents.